Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Genesis, to the 28th chapter. And this is the story of Jacob's ladder. You've heard that phrase before. It begins with the flight of Jacob to escape the wrath of his brother Esau. If you remember the story, Esau had promised since the days of mourning for his father that the first thing he would do after the funeral was to kill Jacob. So Rebekah, their mother, urged Jacob to leave. Leave the premises, escape, save your life. But when he left, she would never get to see him again. So the next time he would come home, she would be dead. This is the price that had to be paid for the deception that was worked on Isaac, their father, when they conspired to get the blessing to Jacob instead of to Esau. So Jacob leaves. He goes out. I would suspect it's no small thing to be driven out from your home, not knowing when, if ever, you would be able to return. But sin always drives a person out, when you think about it. Sin drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. You remember that? Sin drove Peter out when he denied the Lord. It says that he went out and he wept bitterly. And sin drove Judas out when he betrayed Jesus. He ended up hanging himself. Here in the story that we find in Genesis, Jacob is driven out because he deceived his blind father. And sin drives many people out. Sometimes people are driven out of the church because of worldliness. Sin drives them out. They drop out because of the lifestyle that they live. And it's just too hard for them to come to church on Sunday mornings knowing how they're going to live the rest of their life. Some are driven out never to return. That's a sad story. But sin always drives out. And I guess you could say the final driving out is going to be on Judgment Day. If you have your Bibles, turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew in chapter 13, beginning in verse 41. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Sin drives out. So Jacob is driven. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 28 and let's begin in verse 1 and see what happens in this story. It begins, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.'" The blessings of God often come with a charge. The Christian promise is tied with sacrifice. And in this case, for Jacob, he was not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. That would be a mistake. They didn't want to what happened to his brother Esau be what happens to Jacob. If you look in this chapter in verses 6 through 9, it talks about Esau's mistake. A Christian who yokes themselves with an unbeliever usually makes a very sad mistake. When you think about it, why would a person want to possess their body when the devil possesses their soul? Why do you want to be wedded to someone who's really wedded to sin? Why do you want to hold somebody to your bosom that will not someday be held in the bosom of Abraham? Remember this number, 13. In the United States, on average, some couple files for divorce every 13 seconds. That's almost 700,000 divorces a year in the United States alone. statistics find that 13% of those divorces claim one of the major causes of their failed marriage was religious differences. I think that number is way low, because the reality, sin causes marriages to fall apart. And the amount of sin in a person is often related to the amount of religion that they have and hold. There's some wise words written by Paul. If you want to turn with me, it's found over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Jacob was driven out. But in a sense, it doesn't seem right, because though driven out, he received a blessing. How could this be? Unfortunately, sometimes that's just the way it is. The great promise of God about going to heaven seems to conflict with our ability to try to get there because of the problems that we have in this life. Why, if we're going to heaven, do we find it so hard getting there? Our peculiar promise of a heavenly home requires us to live a peculiar lifestyle as a Christian in Christ. And we face some serious headwinds in trying to live a Christian life. But Jacob is driven out, and now we have the story of Jacob's ladder. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 28, and let's pick it up in verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. He's going to have a dream. That dream has haunted men for thousands of years. It's one of the greatest dreams that we have recorded. The dream of Jacob's ladder. Let's pick it up beginning in verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. A couple of weeks ago, remember we talked about another dream, Daniel's dream, about that stump that was chopped off with the bands around it, and we said that was a weird dream? Jacob's ladder dream is a weird dream as well, I think. And he awoke from that dream, and this is what it says beginning in verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob took some stones, it says, and he piled them all up and in a sense made a pillar, and he poured oil on it. And he named that place Bethel, and he made God a vow, a promise. Let's begin in verse 20. If God be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That's the story of Jacob's ladder. Why is it in the Bible? What's the lesson for me, for you? I think it's here to help us reach that heavenly goal. So let's make some observations of that ladder. The first is this, and not stated here. The ladder is Jesus. Go over to the Gospel of John, the very first chapter. In that chapter of that book, we're going to find the real meaning of Jacob's ladder. And as you find it, let's set the stage. Jesus called Philip, and Philip went out to find Nathanael. And in verse 45, Philip told Nathanael that he had found the Messiah. And look at what Nathanael says in verse 46 of John 1. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Nathanael went and he saw. Let's pick it up in verse 47. This is what Jesus said. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Then Jesus unloads this about Jacob's ladder. Beginning in verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. First, I catch that phrase, Son of Man. That's an interesting phrase. We actually just read that over in Matthew. Remember chapter 13, the first 41? But that Son of Man phrase is used 30 times in the Gospels, each time referencing Jesus. So Jesus is Jacob's ladder. And Jacob saw angels going up and going down that ladder. Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, to the first chapter, verse 14. And here there's an exchange going on in the conversation of this chapter about who the Lord really is and how Jesus compares to the angels. And then it says this in verse 14 of Hebrews 1. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Talking about angels. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? As a Christian, I like that promise. That says angels are here today. I can't see them because they're spirits, and we can't see spiritual things, but they're here. And apparently, according to Jacob's ladder story, they're going up and down this ladder. First they go up and they get orders from God or from Christ, and then they come down that ladder and they carry him out, and they go back up and get some more and come back down again. Now, if you're still in Hebrews, turn over to the 13th chapter, verse 2. I find this intriguing. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I'm looking out here at your angelic faces. And I'm saying, maybe one of you. We don't know. So be nice to strangers. You may be entertaining angels unaware. Apparently, earth and heaven are not as isolated as we might perceive. There's a connector, and it's Jacob's ladder. Let's go back to our story about Jacob's ladder in Genesis. Chapter 28. In verse 17 it says, and he was afraid. He had the dream, and he was afraid of what the dream said to him. I imagine Jacob was afraid. If I had pulled that dirty trick on a blind father, I imagine the ideal of seeing God face to face would be something that would frighten me. But I think if truth be known, if any of us had an opportunity to see God face to face, we'd probably be shaking big time. Why? Because we realize, like Jacob realized, that he was a sinner. But beyond being afraid, Jacob realized something else. Let's go back to the story again, beginning in verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I read that over again. I'm asking you, help me think that through. Was Jacob looking up at the top of this ladder here, and he was seeing God, our Lord, up there in heaven at the top of the ladder? And is he saying in verse 13, he actually said in verse 13, he saw the Lord at the top of the ladder. And we know from other scriptures that at the top of the ladder there is a heavenly home surrounded by a wall, you remember? A pearly gate. So is Jacob looking up and seeing God at the top and saying, that is the house of God and the gates to heaven? Okay. Maybe. Surely true according to scripture. And we know that Christ is there sitting at the right hand of God. The problem with that thought is that's not what Jacob said. Jacob was looking down at the rock that he had used as a pillow. And in his dream, while asleep on that rock, he said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. As I mulled that over, I said, okay, what's he saying? This is an awesome place. The Lord's here with me, and I never even knew it. He lives among us. This is his house. The gates of heaven start here. Not at the top of the ladder, but at the bottom of the ladder. I like that thought too. And I think that it is also true. And I think too often we never connect the dots. We never come to the realization that the Lord is in this place. Here on earth with us. In this church house this morning with us. He's not just up there in heaven. We could just as easily say what Jacob said. This is an awesome place. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Let's think about that for a moment. You know, we're in a public place. And because of the codes, we've got a sign like this over the door. Bright red, what's it say? Exit. Stays on, even if the lights go out. It's got a battery pack or something in it. In case of fire, we know how to get out the door. There's a scripture found over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, that to me at least is a little bit scary, and it reads this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. On that day, there is only going to be one way out and one way up the ladder of heaven, the ladder, Jacob's ladder, to a new heaven that is described for us in Revelation. There are many ladders that people try to climb to heaven on. Well, we talked about it. J- J- Jason's talked about it. Some people try to the ladder of good works. Yes, we ought to do good works. We're built for good works. That's why we're created to do good works. But you can't climb that ladder and make it to heaven. It's not tall enough. Some try the ladder of money. Money's great. Money can cure cancer. But money can't buy salvation. It's not tall enough. The only ladder that is going to reach to heaven is the ladder of Christ. That's Jacob's ladder. So let's look at the ladder of Jacob. In his vision, Jacob saw the Lord standing at the top of the ladder. And I think the Lord welcomes everyone who wants to look up to Him like Jacob was doing. But in order to get to Him, you have to climb the ladder. Christ's ladder. Heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder rung by rung. So put your foot on the first rung. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." First rung is hear the word of God. And when you're comfortable on the first rung, then put your foot up and step on the second rung of faith. Over in the book of Acts in chapter 16, verse 31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And then step up to the third rung, repentance. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13, verse 3, it reminds us, "I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And step a little higher. And make the confession of your faith. In Matthew 10, verse 32, it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." And then finally, take that big step. Take a step and be immersed into Christ. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, talking about Saul who would become Paul, the question was, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But there is one more step. And it's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 32, where it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." So it's not a once and done. It's a lifetime of climbing, enduring in the faith. You know, the vision of Jacob's ladder had a great effect upon Jacob. And if you read carefully, he made the biggest deal with God that any man could ever make. Let's go back beginning in verse 20 of Genesis 28. "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." You can't beat that deal. I'd do the same. I think anybody would do the same. If some benefactor was going to come to you and say, "I'm going to give you all the food that you need. I'm going to give you all the clothes that you need. I'm going to give you security in all things, whatever you need, for the rest of your life," would you be willing to give him a tenth of how he has prospered you? I would. I think we all should and would. We read further, Jacob became a very prosperous man because of the blessings of God. I think it paid off for him. Agreed to that deal with the Lord. This morning we're going to sing that song of invitation, and we're going to invite you to do those things we talked about, to climb the ladder: faith, repentance of your sin, confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, being immersed, baptized to wash away those sins, and then to arise and walk the Christian life. If you haven't done that, What better day than today to begin that ladder climb? Come if you will.